Notice in Matthew 13:34. What I'm going to do in this message, I'm just going to refer to the scriptures. Okay. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hidden in the field, that which when a man has found, he hides it, for the joy thereof, goes and sells all that he has, and buys the field. This particular parable, our Lord Christ is illustrating how his Father views the value of a church that he established. He also illustrates the individuals that find it also sees and acknowledges the value of the church. Thus, not only God placed great value in the church, but also the sinners who find this church place a great value that he sacrificed everything he has to get a hold of it and to attain it. Now, Christ knows sense of the word is intended to justify the man's dishonesty, the way he handled the affairs to get the treasury. The emphasis he's trying to get across is showing how valuable the church is in redeeming mankind. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ plays a major role in redeeming mankind. Did God use it? So without any further comment about the man of the parable, I'd like to focus on some things about the Lord's church. Now, in our day and age, a lot of people don't hold no value to the church. They see the Lord's church equal or the same as any denominational church or a cult. Religious sinners and sinners today cannot see the importance and the value God placed in the church itself. And the reason for that, they've been blind by Satan. 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 1 through 6. And sometimes, even among some of us members of the body of Christ, have become blind to the fact that we cannot see the value of the church that God trying to promote in the world in the scheme of redemption. Many of us are justifying having fellowship with different denominations, mainly non-Israel group and the Christian church. If you notice, in the first century, there was trouble and there were divisions. But none of the apostles ever sacrificed and compromised with any false brothers. They stuck to the word of God. If anybody was violating the will of God, Apostle Paul said, mark those and avoid them. If anybody else preaching any other gospel, let him be anathema. And it simply means let him go to hell. And if you notice in Galatians, the first chapter, verse 6 through 7, in the King James, it's done very clearly, puts up what it ought to put out. But if you've got a New American Standard, it's very clear. And when it says a different gospel or another gospel, those are two different Greek words. In other words, one is referring to, it's a different gospel altogether, not the same. I'm not going to go into detail on that part, but because time's limited. Division is no excuse to abandon Christ's Lord's church. God said there's going to be divisions. He declared that in 1 Corinthians 11, chapter verse 20, that schism is going to exist to prove who is faithful to God. It shows who's going to be in God's side. And if you don't view God's church as the God views it as very valuable in the scheme of redemption, God very clearly said that he's chosen the church, that he's going to dwell in that church. He didn't say he's going to dwell in any denomination church or some cult. Ephesians 2nd chapter, verse 19, verse 20 through 22. Instead of speaking very foolishly about the church, they have no value. As long as we attend somewhere, it's all right. You better start thinking about what the Bible had to say. In Revelation 18 chapter, in verse 4 and 5, God makes his appeal to come out of the Catholic Church, the mother of the harlot of all denominations. He said, come out from her, or you're going to receive the same plagues that she's going to get. We need to be striving to retain the Lord's church as God designed it. Not the way we think we can keep people and hold people together, but we need to work on that point, to work with the church that we get it where God wants it to be, the way he designed it to be. And that is to function in a life of holiness. God never intended for the body of Christ, its members, to live a life unrighteous and still be considered Christians. We need to be free from corruption within and without. And the members need to support the leaders. They're trying to do what God told them to do in organizing the church the way it's supposed to be. That we can build ourselves together in the faith. The same faith, not different faith. Some people have different faith and still together. But same faith. As Ephesians 4 chapter 15 through 16, and Galatians 2 chapter 18 and 19, and Philippians 2 chapter 12 through 16. Christ Church and its leaders, we need to counteract the blindness that people have and let them see the purity of the church that Christ died for, that he died to establish in this earth upon us that we may live in. That we work together with God. 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter, 3:7 verse through 9. We must always be striving to have the same faith in God and his word. Not a different faith like a society is doing it today, religious groups are doing. But according to the written word of God, I believe, therefore I've spoken, and we also believe, and therefore speak. 2 Corinthians 4 chapter, verse 13, Psalms 116 and 10. My friend, God has spoken in his word. The church is a valuable instrument that God designed to use in the scheme of redemption of man. It is spoken right from the beginning, when the day was established, the day of Pentecost, that God put all the saved in the church, his church, Acts 2:47. Does God show the value of the church? And we ought to show the same likewise like God chose it. We ought to speak like he does. But it's not true in many areas. For many are not having enough backbone to stand up what is right and defend the Lord's church. We let people tear the church apart like it was nothing. And not have no backbone to stand for it. 1 Corinthians 4 chapter verse 13, Paul said, including other Christians and so forth, and he's actually quoting David, said, what I believe, I speak. A lot of people don't speak that way no more. They might believe it, but they don't speak. My friend, there is no way to get around these passages that show the Lord's church is God's church and it's number one in the scheme of redemption to redeem man and to save man. The church has no power to save nobody, but it's a church that God used to use in the scheme of redemption to save our souls. Now, whether we like it or not, and God has spoken, we need to do it that way. I better jump pages here because time's limiting out. All right, let me give you one of the reasons the church, the Lord's church, is valuable. God put all the saved in the church. Can you read in the Bible that God put saved people in some denomination? Can you read in the Bible that God put some saved people in some kind of cult? God put all the saved in the church. People talk about there's going to be people saved in the denomination. If that people are going to be saved in the denomination, that individual, why not the rest of the denomination be saved? God don't have any saved people out of the church. And let's get this clear. If you're not in the church, you're not saved. Right. You're lost. All the saved are in his church. They're where they are. Now, why are they there? Because that's the place that God chose. I didn't choose that. You didn't choose that. You know, today people are choosing putting saved people in denomination churches, in cults, in various places. That's man's choice. And God chooses the church, we got to leave it there. Keep the saved where they belong. Don't put them somewhere else, they get corrupted and lose their salvation. Second point is this. Let me read Revelation 1, 5, and 6. Okay, this is the reason, another reason why the church of God is very valuable in the eyes of God. And not be valuable in your eyes. Man don't esteem the Lord's church that highly. But God does. Here's the reason why he does it. Because in the scheme of redemption, God using the church. And you know what the church is? Without the church, you don't have Christ's blood. See, how could that be? I'm going to read to you. Not in Revelation 1, chapter 5 and 6. All right. I'm going to read it to you in the New American Standard Version. By the way, in the King James, it's king. And the best way to define the Greek word for king or kingdom is basilia. And it's used in various ways. I learned it this way, three R's. The realm, the rank, and I forgot the other one. But anyway, there's three R's in there. My mind once in a while plays tricks on me. Anyway, and that's how you learn it. In this case, it's not talking about you and I being kings. It's talking about the God rules the kingdom. We're the kingdom of God. Another Revelation 5:1-5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, first begotten of the dead, the prince of the king of the earth, unto him that God loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He has made us a kingdom and a priest unto God, and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And the New American Standard reads this way: to him who loved us and released us from sin by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory. The kingdom of Lord Jesus Christ is the church. How do you know that? Well, there are various ways to know that, but I just want to give you one illustration. In 1 Thessalonians 1 chapter verse 1, it says, he's writing to the church of God in Thessalonica. Now you go to 2nd chapter, verse 12. He said the church was called into the kingdom of God. It's synonymous. Same institution. They don't mean the same thing, but same institution. Now we all know for a fact that our blood flows in our body. Does your blood flow to mine? No, it doesn't. So we know for a fact the blood flows in our own body. The church is Christ's body. What that means? Christ's blood flows in his body. If you're not in the church, you don't have Christ's blood. Now, in Acts, the 20th chapter, and verse 28, it tells you that Christ purchased his church with what? His own blood. Now the question comes, how do we consider ourselves blood relations with Christ? How we attain that blood? Because Christ said, I'll sing praises of the Lord in the congregation. Hebrews 2:12. Well, the same thing that baptizes into the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12, chapter verse 13, it is where we meet Christ's blood in baptism. Romans 6, chapter, and verse 4, it said, that we're baptized into his death. Where did Christ shed his blood? Death. So we contact his death. We contact his blood. And then it said we rise with him in the church in the newness of life. Now let me tell you this. No one without Christ's blood can be redeemed. No one without his blood in the body of Christ, where the blood actually flows, can have forgiveness of sins. The same thing that forgave your sins, automatically you're born into the kingdom of God, into the family of God, in the church. Now, if you leave the church, the body of Christ, you've lost the blood. You don't have it no longer. So how do we maintain Christ's blood? Maintain yourself faithful to the Lord's church, doing his will. Now notice Ephesians 5 chapter and verse 26, 25 through 27. Husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. All right, that's where he shed his blood for the church. Now notice verse 26. That he may sanctify, cleanse it with washing of water by the word. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about baptism. He cleansed the members when they got baptized from sin. Through the blood of Christ. Now notice verse 27. And how he did it? By the word. Well, how do you know how to get in the church, the body of Christ? Through the word of God. Book of Acts, second chapter, Peter told him how to do it. And he got into the body of Christ. Now notice verse 27. That he may present himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such things, but it should be holy without blemish. What kept the church being holy and without blemish? The blood. And where's the blood? In Christ's body. The church. Therefore, man-made churches or cults or cult affiliating with different denominations, and mainly the Church of Christ, don't get tempted to affiliate to Baptists and Methodists and Lutherans and so forth. Their temptation, the greatest temptation, is the Christian Church and Antichrist, the groups. Therefore, man-made churches or cults, Christ's blood does not flow in them. If it does, I'd like to see it from the scriptures, where the blood of Christ flow in some denomination church. But it only flows in this body. And that's why the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is valuable to God, because he uses the blood to cleanse our souls from sin. But even though Christ's blood flows in this body, members need to strive to maintain their blood of Christ. You know, I got my blood in my body. If I had an artery, if I don't try and take care of that cut, I ain't going to be around. You know what's caused us to lose Christ's blood? Sin. That's what causes us to lose Christ's blood. Sin. If you ever read the first John, first chapter, Apostle John appealing to the Christians, that they want the Christians and their apostles to fellowship with God, one another. And then he goes in verse 6, if we say a fellowship with God and walk in darkness, what happens? We lie. We have no fellowship with God. In order to maintain the fellowship with God, notice verse 7 of 1 John. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, with Christians, with the apostles, and God. Now notice, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all what? Now, when he says cleanse all sins, it's not talking about willful sins, by the way. Because willful sins mentioned in verse 9. It's almost, we all sin many times sin and we don't even know we're sinning. That cleanses. But notice what it says to do that if we walk in the light. The light is God's word, the truth. The gospel is the light. Psalm 119, 105, 130. And 2 Corinthians 4 chapter, verse 4 through 6. As long as we, as members of the body of Christ, strive to stay in the truth, Christ's blood is cleansing us. And we got his blood. And that's very essential, because without his blood, you, none of us, are going to go to heaven. That's a fact. Just for an illustration, let's suppose from this day on, you was able not to violate one passage of the New Testament. Are you going to go to heaven? No. Why? You still got sins. You haven't been forgiven. You know? So as long as we're striving to walk in the light, the blood of Christ. In fact, in 2 John, verse 9, he that abideth, and actually means go beyond or continue in it. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ has the Father and the Son. He that abideth not in the doctrine of Christ had not the Father nor the Son. Why is it we don't have the Son? 1 John 1, 7, you got to walk in the light. So the blood of Christ can take care of us. Therefore, as long as the church is striving within to live within God's will, we have both Christ and his blood. In fact, we have the whole Godhead. That's what the Bible teaches anyway. But if the church fails to live within God's will and come short of the glory of God, the church must repent. Do you know what Christ told the church at Ephesus? He's talking to the whole church. He's not talking to individual members. If you if the church don't straighten out, I'm going to remove you. I'm going to take you out of the picture. That church can continue being the Lord's church, speaking to, that church may continue in the name of the church, being the church of Christ. But Christ's not there no more, because he said, I'm going to remove you if you don't change your ways. You remove the whole church. And sometimes we're striving to do the will of God in the New Testament church, And once in a while we have members, they're not doing what they ought to do. Did you know a church at Sardis, that God did not rebuke the leader, nor the church as a whole? You know what he said? I just removed some of the members not doing God's will. You know, you can be associated with the church, living a life of sin, but you're not a part of the church. You're part of the church as far as we're concerned. As far as I know, you're a Christian, and I accept you as a brother or a sister, but in the eyes of God, you're not. Read that in Revelation 3rd chapter, 1 to 3 or 4. Members need to repent of their sins. You know, a lot of people read 1 John 1:9 and said, well, I confess my sin, and that's it. No, it's more than that. Let's go to Proverbs 28:13. Let's go along with 1 John 1:9. What did Apostle Peter request or require a Simon the Sorcerer to do to have his sins forgiven? Repent. It's not just confessing our sins. They got to be repentance. You got to change your way of lifestyle. Change your beliefs if it's necessary. Notice Proverbs 28:13. It says that God willing to forsake, if we forsake all our sins and confess them, now he'll forgive you. Now, if you only confess them and don't repent, he cannot forgive you. You got to repent of your sins. I'll give you a scripture of that. Proverbs 28:13, 1 John 1:9, Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. The church is very valuable to God because its members has the Son's blood in their life. That's why it's valuable. He treasures the blood of his Son that he shed to redeem us from sin. Oh, somebody say, I got to leave the Lord's church. Why are you going to leave it? I got to grow spiritually. Oh, why are you? You lost your blood of Christ. You know what's wrong? A lot of people don't realize. You've got to accept the fact there's going to be division among us until Christ comes. That's in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, verse 20. It says that. It's going to be here. Did the apostle gave up and said, let's do my division. Let's join the false brothers and make a group of ourselves. No, they didn't. They strive to do what God said. You know, Ephesians 4, chapter 1 through 6, the unity of the Spirit. If you notice the word that God used, endeavor, you know what that implies? We're going to have to struggle. We have to fight to keep the unity of the Spirit. We're not going to maintain it. You know, local, congregational, it's possible. It, because in 1 Corinthians 1st chapter verse 10, he told the Corinthians to all speak the same thing. It's possible. It can be done. At times we have problems, but it can be done. The universal church, if you notice, all the instructions, the churches, was given to individual. There's not one instruction saying, all the universal church got to be united. He didn't say that. He told the Ephesians to be united. He told the Corinthians to be united. He told the various churches to be united. But he tells the whole universal church to be united. But every congregation, that's what it's supposed to be doing, the universal church be united. It will. Okay, I'm going to bring it to close. Time went on. I tell you, to close it real fast, is this. You know how valuable the church is? I'm going to tell you how valuable it is. When Christ comes back, he's coming for his church. He's not coming for a denomination of Baptist Church or Methodist or Presbyterian, whatever you want to call it. He's not coming for them. He's not coming for the Mormons and Seventh-day Adventists and so forth. He's not coming for them. The Bible specifically says he's coming for his church. You remember in Ephesians 5, chapter verse 27? He's going to present himself, his church, to himself. In 1 Thessalonians, he's telling the church he's come for the Lord's church. That's how valuable the church is. You want to go to heaven? You better be sure you're in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not in it, you're not going to go to heaven. Because he's coming for his church. He's not coming to pick individuals out of different groups. He's just coming for the church. And if you're not in the book of life, you're not part of the church. He's coming for the church. And that's how valuable the church is. The world may tear it apart, and some so-called Christian may tear it apart, but I hate to be in a day of judgment to face my Lord when he placed value on the church. Why did you minimize my body? The church. Okay, thank you.